On the Water Cooler with Sam, you just heard In Jesus' Name and before that, Revelation. They're the first two tracks from the feature record of the week, the brand new release from Cutlass. Glory is their eighth album, and lead singer John Micah joins me on the line. Hello, John Micah.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Where in the world do we find you today?
I'm actually at home in Portland, Oregon. I just flew home late last night, and so I'll be home for 2 days, and then I'm back out on the road again.
Oh, wow. Well, you're just on the just about to release this amazing new album, Glory. Now, you joined Cutlass 14 years ago, and since then you've sold over 2 million records. Did you ever imagine that you'd be still going in 2014 and releasing your eighth record?
Well, I think you always hope that you can keep it going, you know, and hope that things will continue to go well and that people continue to listen to your music. You know, but there's no certainty for sure, especially in the music industry. You never know what next year is going to hold. So we definitely feel very thankful and privileged to be able to still be making music, and we're really glad that people still like to listen to our music.
Yeah. How has God been growing you over that time?
Oh, man. You know, I think as you grow older, especially as your family grows and just life happens, you learn a lot of lessons. And I know I've got two kids. I've got a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old. And they've taught me so much, just raising them and spending time with them. And so I've definitely learned a lot just through life. But also, you know, being on the road and traveling, we meet a lot of different people. We see a lot of different things. We've been in a lot of different cultures. And I think experience is one of the greatest teachers you can ever find in life. You know, as you experience things and you see things firsthand, it really shapes kind of your perspective and even worldview to a certain degree. Mm. And so I know that, you know, as a 21-year-old first heading out on the road, you know, starting to tour professionally and to now, you know, the world has changed a lot in the last decade and a half, but also, you know, I've definitely grown a lot, and I think learned a lot, and through that, I think I've grown spiritually, I've grown mentally, and, you know, there's things now that I look at that I am able to kind of take care of and handle that I go, I don't know if I could have done that 10 years ago, and that just kind of comes from experience, and unfortunately, sometimes those experiences are difficult experiences, but you kind of liken it onto even, like, physical training. You know, if you work hard and the physical training, you know, and practice is uncomfortable and it hurts and it's painful, but you push yourself, that causes the greatest growth. And I think too in life, oftentimes when we're going through kind of difficult stuff, we come out on the other side and go, man, I learned a lot, and I grew a ton through that difficult time.
Yeah. We're about to hear the first single, the first taste we heard of Glory, You Alone. It speaks of what Jesus has done at the cross. It says that there's no other way to God but through him. What's the story behind this song?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's, in culture today, there's kind of this all-embraces, there's many paths that, you know, that'll lead to salvation or they'll lead to heaven. There's kind of this, you know, let's not offend anybody, let's just say everybody's way is kind of good and, you know, we'll embrace everybody. And the problem with that is, you know, Jesus was very clear. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
And so that path is very narrow. And, yeah, it's not open-minded and it's not culturally acceptable, but it's the reality that if you believe the teachings of Jesus, either he's the way or he's not. And there is no kind of, well, you know, many paths or many ways will work. And so we just kind of, with this song, we're making a declaration and a claim that there is only one God, and there is only one way to salvation, and he alone is worthy of honor and glory and praise. And if we put any other focus or any other worship into any other entity, we've created essentially idolatry of something else in this world that is taking the place in worship of God. And, you know, all throughout the Bible, all the way into the Old Testament even, you look at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and constantly God's like, I am the one true God. You know, you see later on in Scriptures, the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob establishing who he is and how he's different from the rest of any other deity that may be worshipped throughout the world, that there is only one God that is true, maker of the heavens. And so this song just kind of lays that out. It says, "You alone are worthy of all honor and glory and praise."
John Michael, where did you record this album?
Most of it was recorded right here in Portland, Oregon, real close to right in the area that we live in. We've got a good friend of ours that's been produced our last couple records, and he's got basically a studio down in his basement. And so we recorded the bulk of it there. We did drums up at a studio in Vancouver, Washington, which is just over the river from Portland, about 45 minutes away from where we live. And most of it was all done right here. We added a song kind of last minute on Never Too Late, and so some of those tracks were done in Nashville, some of them were done in Portland. But other than that, yeah, most of it was done here in Portland, Oregon.
And how are you aiming to expand your sound as a band on Glory?
Well, you know, one of the challenges for us as a band is that we've been known as a worship band, and we've been known as a rock band. And those two things don't always go hand in hand together. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see those as being compatible. And so what that created was kind of this back and forth where we would release a record and, you know, maybe be a rock record, and then we'd release another record, and it would be a worship record, and it would be titled as such. And so then, you know, people would begin to ask us, are you guys doing a worship record or a rock record? What is this record? And so we've been really trying hard to kind of reduce this polarization between these two records and just create worshipful music that still rocks, that's reflective of the style of music that we like and enjoy, and reflective of who we are, but that is still clearly, you know, worshipful and worshiping God. And not that the other heavy stuff doesn't worship God, but it's not necessarily congregational in nature, a song that people could, you know, just hop right in and sing together. And so with this record, we really intentionally tried to write songs that would be easily accessible to sing, that, you know, worship leaders could play in church, and songs that were worship songs, you know, but wasn't necessarily a quote-unquote worship record, you know. And I look at an artist like Chris Tomlin, for example. You know, Chris Tomlin puts out a record, it's Chris Tomlin's new record, and yet you go, oh, all those songs are worship songs, and they get played in the church, but they're all new original songs. And he doesn't have to title it a worship record. And so we've kind of taken that approach of, let's make our sound and take what we do, and let's write worshipful songs that, so we don't have to title it a worship record, but these songs are clearly worship songs. And so that's kind of the approach we took, and I think we accomplished it, and I'm excited just to see. I hope these songs are used by people and sung by people, and I hope they're blessed by it.
I'm keen to know, you know, so many albums under your belt now. What keeps you going as a band? Is it coming back to scripture and being reminded of God's glory there?
Yeah, and honestly, that's the reason that this album is titled Glory, is really all of these songs look at different attributes of God and who He is. And we really tried to keep the lyrics and the content of this song predominantly focused on Him. You know, our tendency as artists sometimes, I think, is to focus on ourselves. You know, I feel this way, and God, I need your help because I feel this way, you know. And we tend to stay in that spot. And so we really, again, intentionally, so we want to focus this completely on God and on Him alone. And the tendency is when we're on the road and when we're traveling, when we start thinking too much about ourselves and how we feel and the things that aren't going well in our lives or whatever, you know, your tendency is to kind of get really burdened down with that. But I think the things that kind of keep us going is when we see the things that God is doing, we see lives being changed, and we see our music impacting people, and we see people getting saved, and I mean, all that kind of stuff. We go, man, this is what it's all about. This is why we're still on the road. This is why we're still doing things, you know, traveling and away from our families much of the year. And so that's been a real, you know, encouragement to us. And honestly, I really believe we've just been called to it. I think this is what God has for us and has created us for. And so we're just chasing after that calling and trusting that God will continue to provide the strength that we need to fulfill it.
That's great. I'm keen to ask you about the album cover for Glory, because you're standing on a beach with some amazing, I don't want to call them rocks, they're more boulders, aren't they, behind you. Where was that taken?
That was taken on the Oregon coast. So it's about an hour and a half from where we live. And we actually started out this project. We had kind of a friend of a friend who had a beach house out there, and they allowed us to stay in it for a few days, and that's where we started writing the record. And so we got together, we did basically a writing retreat with the whole band and with our producer, and we just hunkered down right there, this house overlooking the beach with some of those, they're called, the famous rock out there is called Haystack Rock, and so we started just writing, and so that was really where the songs first began and where the whole thing kind of began to take shape. And so we thought, man, it would only be natural for us to go back there and do our photo shoot there and do an album cover there. Plus, it's just such, it's a very inspiring place. It's so magnificent looking. And so we thought, man, let's go take some pictures down there. And sure enough, I think it really turned out fantastic. And I think sometimes nature can reflect just a little bit of God's glory, you know, and so we felt like those photos really were applicable to this record and were perfect for the cover.
And I'm guessing it was low tide. It seems like it's low tide.
We kind of had a little bit of both. We shot all day, so high tide and some low tide, but those rocks are, they're massive, so yeah. The big one kind of poking up there is, you know, several hundred feet tall. So it's, whether it's high tide or low tide, they stick out of the water just fine.
Well, it looks like I'm going to have to go to Oregon for a holiday, I think, and check it out myself.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Is there a key idea or big message to this album as a whole? I know you mentioned that, you know, it's showing different parts of God's glory, but is there a big idea?
That's basically it for us. I know it sounds simplistic, but I guess as a template, one of the things we did was our church teaches exegetical Bible teaching, which means they start in Genesis and go all the way through Revelation. We go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, straight through the Bible. And so while we were writing the record, our church Bible study was in the book of Revelation. And we came across the Revelation chapter 4 passage where the 24 elders come before the throne of God, and they cast their crowns before the throne, and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And as we read that passage, we kind of talked about it, and we were looking at it, and as a band, we thought, man, I bet you that is going to be one epic worship service. All these guys are standing around the throne of God and looking at him, and basically all they can say is just, wow, holy, 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 you know. And so we thought, That would be like the most epic rock and worship service ever, you know. And so we kind of used that as a mental image to go, I wonder what that would sound like. I wonder what that would be like to be there in the midst of that. And so that first track, Revelation, kind of came out of that a little bit of us just using our imagination going, I wonder what that might sound like. And so we kind of tried to create a song that might, in our imagination, fit into that environment. And so we kind of use that theme throughout of just dwelling there. What would it be like to be in the physical presence of God in heaven, seeing him face to face? And what are the things that we're going to focus on, and things we're going to be inspired by, and how to respond to that? And so I guess that kind of gives a little bit of a template and a foundation for the record. And again, you know, references why the title was Glory.
And John Michael, I'm keen to know, what have you got planned for the rest of the year? Have you got some tour plans in the pipeline?
Yeah. So we've got a handful more shows. We're kind of flying around here in the States right now, and just a, you know, show here, show there. And then we're launching kind of our next big tour at the beginning of March, and we're going out with Audio Adrenaline, and we'll be out for about 3 months with those guys. And that'll be pretty much a U.S. tour again.
Right.
And then after that, we pretty much head into summer festivals and, you know, fairs and all that kind of stuff. And so we've got a pretty busy schedule. I do believe we have a little bit of international stuff in Europe in July that we've just scheduled. So we're still kind of getting some of those details worked out. But yeah, we've got a very, very busy year coming up for us.
Yeah, cool. Well, if you manage to get to Australia, you're very welcome to come.
we love coming down there. It's been years since we've been down to the southern hemisphere, but we definitely would love to come back down there. You guys are a bit of a hike, though.
Yeah, I know, it's a bit far, but that's all right. The last track on the album, In the City, it seems to me like a real reflection of Matthew 28, where we see the Great Commission. Is that kind of what you're going for on that track?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we've been really focusing in on more and more with our ministry and our concerts and our music is just evangelism, you know, to fulfill the Great Commission. And again, something that we feel God's called us to. And we've just seen some wonderful, spectacular evenings where people have been very moved by the night and really meet Christ for the first time, and it's been fantastic. But one of the things about In the City, I think it's a little bit deeper than that even, in that I don't know how much you know about Portland, Oregon, but it's a very liberal, pretty godless city for the most part. And I believe that it's statistically the least churched city in America. And so, you know, America's fairly known for being a fairly Christianized country, and there's churches on every corner. So we live in a fairly, as far as America's concerned, we live in a fairly dark part of America. And there's some challenges to that for sure. You know, you go downtown and, you know, if people find out you're a Christian, it's usually not a positive thing. But it's created just a culture where the Christians that do live here are very much Christians, and they claim it, and they believe it, and they live it, because they kind of have to. You know, if you're going to be a Christian, there's really no advantage to just saying, hey, I'm a Christian, because you're actually more ostracized than you are welcomed in this city. And so for us, you know, we've kind of seen just a growth of, there's been several churches that have really grown, and we've seen just massive revival in certain parts of the city, and it really begins to change the landscape of the city, at least certain pockets of it, as you know, believers grow. And so we kind of have just had a prayer for our city, that our city would be changed and would find God, and for our country, that our country would come back kind of to its roots of being one nation under God. And so, you know, we've got cities all around the United States for us that we've traveled to and been in, cities all around the world that we go to, and we go, man, this city just desperately needs revival. And so that song, we hope, becomes a prayer for people for their own city, to where they can go, man, yes. That, you know, we wrote it kind of from the perspective of our city, the city we live in, and said, man, we want revival in our city. We want to see God move in this city. We want to see souls and lives change in this city. And so we hope that that's kind of a call to action to other people in other cities as well, no matter where you are in the world, that you can look at your city and go, man, I want to see God's hand move in my city. And then being open and willing to, if God calls you to make a difference in your city, to following that calling and being the hands and feet in your city to help make a difference and help change it.
And what a great encouragement to finish the record on that note as well.
Absolutely. You know, you spend all this time with all these songs worshiping God and knowing who He is, and you know, hopefully having those intimate moments with your Creator, and then to leave it there and not share it, you totally miss out on the Great Commission and what we're called to do as believers and as individuals, to share that love and to share that hope and to share God's glory with those around us. And so, yeah, exactly. That's why we kind of left at the end of the record there. Was like, okay, now share this experience with your city. Share this experience. Share God with those around you.
John Micah from Cutlass, thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely.